للهادي نور العين والزهرة والحسنين، نرجو المولى رب الكون إكراما في الدارين.
All praise is due to Allah, the Exalted, and may Allah raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his kind relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them. Ameen. Welcome to a fresh and new installment of Community Connect, broadcasting live from the Tuam FM studio via 92.1 FM and tuamfm.org. Keeping you company this afternoon is Nadia and Ola, so welcome to you all and thanks for joining us. Ola, it's great to be back with you, partner. How are you? How are you doing?
Good, thank you, Nadia. It's always a pleasure to be on air with you, Nadia, and it's a pleasure to be rejoining our community connectors for another episode of the show that keeps them connected.
We are back on air, Ola, to address topics that are very relevant to ourselves and the community. These topics really, they really spark a lot of interest among community members, and we particularly like to address topics that affect us on a regular basis.
I think today's topic scratches a bit of an itch, really, for most of our listeners, because like you said, Nadia, it's something that's relevant to all of us. And I don't know, should we tell them what the topic is?
Absolutely, Ola. That's why we are here. We will be addressing the biggest expense in our household. I'll give our listeners a moment or two to probably think of what that expense
other
is.
Other than electricity. We know electricity is on right on top there, but other than electricity, what's the biggest expense?
Exactly. What is the largest financial problem that a lot of us face? And yes, you are right. It is overspending on food and groceries. It's something that a lot of us actually face, and you and I, Ola, are among those people who face that problem.
That's right. We're caught in quite a dilemma on a week-to-week basis, aren't we?
Exactly. And in order to rectify that problem or that issue, we need to first admit it. And yes, we do have a problem that we face in terms of overspending on our grocery bill. So today we'll be sharing some ideas on how to cut back and save on our groceries in order to keep our budget on track.
And that's more of a reminder to ourselves, I think, Nadia, than really advice to everyone else, because yes, we know this information, it's somewhere, you know, stored at the back of our head. But, you know, when it comes to applying it, sometimes it's a different story.
Exactly.
So hopefully this will help to get us back on track.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, we will be providing really important tips and tricks on how to save on our grocery bill. Now, previously on the show, we have been addressing or we have addressed topics pertaining to how to save, you know, in a general sense. But this time we are focusing predominantly on groceries because, as I mentioned, it's an area of our budget that needs the most work.
I mean, we all need to eat.
Yes.
So there's no escaping this one.
Exactly. And it is quite astonishing, Ola, how when you go to the supermarket to do some grocery shopping and you're scanning your items, how quickly do you find that your bill racks up to about $100 and you still haven't even placed everything.
Oh, especially when you're buying like cleaning products and
exactly
toiletries and things like that. I think the priciest of the lot and they they're the majority of probably my weekly shop.
Exactly. I mean, you have the kitchen to think of. You've got the pantry, you've got the fridge, you've got the bathroom, the laundry. So many things to think about when it comes to your grocery shopping.
That's right. It's not all about food. And so, yeah, these things quickly add up. And if you have a large family, these things can disappear out the door before they've even made it in.
Exactly. Our spending on groceries can get out of control. It's a problem that most of us face, and this is why we will be addressing this topic and how to rectify it. Stay tuned, dear listeners. You are listening to Community Connect with Nadia and Ola on 92.1 FM. A very warm welcome back to all our listeners who are tuned in to Community Connect via 92.1 FM or tuamfm.org. It's an absolute pleasure to be reconnecting with you once again. So, how to cut down on our grocery bill? That's the topic that Ola and I will be discussing today. As I mentioned earlier, most of us, in fact, don't realize that most of our grocery and food spending is out of control, and that includes mindless trips to the grocery store with no plan. Most of us buy lunch for work instead of packing our own lunch, and that also involves eating out on a regular basis. So, Ola, how much of the Australian weekly wage is spent in the supermarket?
Well, it's about 39%, in fact, which is really very close to almost half of what you earn every week. According to data from RaboDirect, the average household in Sydney spends an average of $163 a week on grocery shopping. That's almost $8,500 a year.
That's a lot of money, Ola.
And I think that's a very conservative estimate, to be honest. I don't know.
We're talking about the average.
But what's an average family? Like, what's an average family, really? I don't even know. I don't even think couples.
I think I'm guilty of spending twice or triple that amount.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. 163, I don't even think couples only spend $163 a week on grocery shopping, and that's just for the two of them.
Exactly.
So when it gets to, you have kids, I'm pretty sure that's a vast underestimate of what really is being spent in the supermarket.
It is quite astonishing. And the thing is, we don't really check on how much we spend on a regular basis. And the thing is, after we finish from the supermarket and do our grocery shopping, our receipt gets tossed into the rubbish bin. So we aren't really keeping check into how much we are spending every week. And it's really important for us to just stay alert and to focus on exactly how much we are spending.
I think it also comes from a lack of budgeting to begin with. I mean, we go in there, we don't have a set amount of money that we go in there thinking, okay, this is how much we're going to spend. I mean, I used to do this for a while. I used to go in there and say, okay, I'm setting myself a limit mentally and thinking as they're scanning my items, I'm thinking, am I going to get in with fall within that range? Like, am I even going to be close?
Exactly.
No, never. Not once.
No.
So I think, yeah, if you do have that budgeting in mind, if you've allocated a certain amount of your income or your money to certain things, then you're more likely, I think, to kind of stick to that.
Exactly. And of course, everyone's budget will be different and it will be determined based on income and based on dietary requirements.
Not just that, but other expenses as well. You know, sometimes depending on the number of other expenses that you have, how you're going to divide that money across, you know, your electricity bill, for example, your internet, your telephones, all the other things. So it depends how many other things that you're spending on that, you know, you're going to be left with. I mean, really, what's a priority for you? Eating or like internet? I don't know.
Exactly, exactly. And there are a lot of things to factor in when it comes to budgeting. Among them, electricity, you've got your other bills, your other utility bills as well. But as we mentioned, eating and drinking is an essential part of life. For many of us, we tend to overindulge and we tend to do our grocery shopping based on our appetite and our personal desires. We should really think about just getting the essentials, things that we need as opposed to things that we want.
I mean, it's all good and dandy if you're going to spend, you know, $200 a week on groceries, on food that you're actually eating, but if you're ending up pretty much throwing out half of it or a large proportion of it.
That's right. That's,
you know, that's a very unfortunate state of affairs that you've reached because you're really literally throwing money in the bin.
Exactly. You're not only overspending, but you're also contributing to food wastage, which is a major problem in today's society. So let's start talking about how you know if you're overspending on groceries. And among the ways you will be able to determine whether you are overspending on groceries is the most obvious one, and that is the fact that you have deteriorated food products in your fridge. So food that has expired, food that you haven't touched yet and it has expired. So if you open your fridge toward the end of the week and you have to start throwing away the moldy fruit, your rotten apples, your moldy berries, then you bought too much at the grocery store.
That's right. So, or maybe you're buying the wrong things. You're buying the types of fruits and vegetables that your family don't eat.
Exactly. So, and a lot of people tend to buy a variety of different fruits. I've found what really helps is to buy one type of fruit or two types of fruits, as opposed to getting a bulk of different variety.
I agree with that. If you can get all family members to agree on a certain type
that's
of
another
fruit.
Thing.
So, yeah.
In that sense, you have bought too much at the grocery store. So an excess of deteriorating produce, unopened jars and expired products is an indication that you are overbuying and contributing to food wastage.
Of course, it always feels like you have nothing to eat. Nadia, no matter how full your pantry and your fridge are, you're always lost on what are we going to eat today?
And it's a common remark given by your children. I mean, Mom, there's nothing to eat. There's nothing in the fridge.
Yeah.
And the fridge is practically full. So maybe you should really sit down with your family and talk about some of the things that they would prefer to eat as opposed to just filling up the fridge with unnecessary items, things that you and your family won't be consuming. So talk about what each and every one of you would prefer to have in the pantry and fridge.
Until you get to that dilemma of, what do you want to eat? Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
The whatever response is usually what causes the biggest problem.
Exactly.
In most households, because with whatever, you actually think whatever is okay, and evidently whatever is not okay.
So, yeah. It's a very vague answer.
Is pasta okay?
No, I don't feel like pasta.
Yeah, that's kind of the drill.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people tend to spend too much on snacks and ingredients for meals that they will never make. So the advice here is to take a look at your week and be realistic about how many meals you are eating at home.
That's right. I mean, we tend to go into the supermarket very aimlessly.
Mm.
We walk around and we just look at whatever appeals to us and we buy it. It's with nothing really in mind. I mean, you don't really think about, okay, what am I cooking this week? What am I going to be making for dinner or whatnot? It's just, oh yeah, that looks nice.
Exactly.
Let's get a few of that.
So this jar of pasta sauce is on special and you decide to take it with you home, but then realize later on that you are out of other ingredients like your...
But you don't have the pasta.
The pasta, or you don't have your meat.
Mm.
So that's the next point that we are going to talk about, which is meal planning. Planning in advance is something that many of us don't actually do.
Mm.
But if we were to do, we'll actually make a world of difference. So saving money on our groceries begins before you step foot in the store. And what that means is essentially writing down a list of meal plans or things that you will be making throughout that week. So take time prior to shopping to prepare for your trip. Your time invested will really, really pay off. It will make a world of difference if you jot down what you plan to make
again,
for that week.
That's given that your family has been cooperative in offering ideas of, you know, meals to make for that week. But if you've been given the whatever response, then you're going to walk in there with whatever in mind.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this is where you kind of need to get creative here and start, you know, kind of coming up with your own ideas and looking at what you have already in the pantry or in the fridge, and then just maybe adding ingredients to what you have rather than buying a full list of ingredients for each meal on its own.
Exactly. So planning your meals before you go shopping, as I mentioned earlier, will mean that you will only buy what you need. So before you step foot into the grocery store, it's very recommended for you to check what is already placed in your pantry or your fridge so that you know what to get and what not to get.
That's right. Because how many times do you go to the supermarket and you buy that jar of pasta sauce and you get home and you realize you have three others in the pantry, but
exactly,
you know, they're behind a whole bunch of other stuff that you didn't realize was there either.
Exactly. So it really pays to check if you have any of the ingredients for that recipe and try to make it as simple as you can. Now, many recipes call for fancy ingredients. You know, I find that is such a waste of money.
It is. I'm more of a practical person.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something that I know I'm only going to use once, yeah, I'd rather cook something else. Thank you.
Exactly. So it's really important for you not to buy an ingredient that you will only use once. And many ingredients out there, they don't sound very familiar to you.
Mm.
And if they don't sound familiar to you, you've never heard it in your life or heard about it in your life, then it's best to stay away from it.
That's right, especially those exotic sauces and whatnot that, you know, you've never tasted before.
And
then you try it and you realize, no, this isn't my cup of tea anyway. So it just sits in the fridge for the next 5 years.
Exactly. So meal planning is essentially one of the most important aspects when it comes to grocery shopping, because as I mentioned, that will contribute to buying things that you need as opposed to things that you want. And at the same time, you are avoiding that massive problem, which is food wastage.
And if you do happen to walk into that supermarket with a blank canvas, it's a good idea to kind of plan those meals around the things that are on sale already.
Mm.
So, you know, if you see certain sauces or, you know, meal bases or whatever that you could use that are already on sale, then, you know, that kind of cuts the guesswork out for you and gives you some inspiration as to what you'll be cooking for that week. And it will also help the hip pocket as well.
Exactly.
So, just make sure that you keep an eye out for those specials and, try and work those meals around them.
Absolutely, Ola. And that's something I particularly like to do, which is to focus my recipes around the products that are on special, because that means you are saving. It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yes.
And what I found really helps, look, I personally haven't tried this before, but it has become more common and more widespread, and that is the usage of online click and collect service. And that basically involves ordering your groceries online and picking them up later. And look, if you are an impulse buyer, this will help keep you out of the aisles. I'm an impulse buyer. I'm guilty of that.
Maybe you should try it then. I've been wanting to try it. I just, for some reason, by the time I'm out of work, it's like I'm on autopilot. So it's like my beeline to the supermarket that I just do without thinking. Whereas I think if I gave it a bit more thought, I may be able to plan it out in advance, do my online shopping during the evening sometimes.
Exactly.
And, you know, schedule it to be picked up.
Just focus on doing that once a week, and then you are avoiding having to go to the supermarket and being faced with all these delicious products.
I mean, I know there are a lot of people who opt for home delivery, but this is different. This is a free service, in fact. You obviously still need to pay for your groceries, but
exactly.
There are no delivery fees because you're going to pick up your own groceries. But the on the plus side, what happens is you go there and they already have your stuff packed for you, so you don't even have to go inside the supermarket.
Yes.
And, you know, walk through the aisles and be tempted by all the, you know, all the munchies that they've got on.
And it does take quite a long time having to skim through all the aisles and then being faced with all these specials and placing things in your cart that you most likely would not end up consuming. So what's really great about this service, this online click and collect service, is that it helps you find weekly specials that you might not notice in store because you may not necessarily go into all the aisles.
I know that from experience, Nadia. When I go grocery shopping, a lot of the times I have my little list on my phone.
Yep.
And I just go into whatever aisle is necessary because I'm usually hammered beyond words and I can't be bothered to look around for anything other than what I actually need.
Yep.
So I may go through certain aisles but not others, and therefore I will miss a lot of the specials.
Absolutely. And it's common sense. If you want to save, then purchase products that are on special. Now, sometimes there is a downside to that, especially when you're shopping at the supermarket itself, where when you are faced with specials, buy 2 for $10, for instance, and you'll save a dollar. What's a dollar going to bring you?
Yeah.
But for many people, when it comes to specials, they just, okay, because it's on special, I'm going to purchase it.
Yeah.
So there is a downside to that, but at the same time, when it comes to the online click and collect service, you can purchase the items that you need. So if there's a particular washing powder that you prefer over others and you only buy it when it's on special, then this is a great opportunity to do so.
That's right. And it cuts out on, you know, the temptation of walking past other items that you don't necessarily want in your cart.
Another great tip when grocery shopping is to familiarize yourself with food prices. So write down the regular prices of things you buy often, and it's not just things like milk, bread, meat, veggies, but also things like your favorite shampoo or washing powder. And what this will actually help you with is it will help you work out which stores have the best prices and whether you are getting a good deal on sale items. This is something I particularly like to do when it comes to grocery shopping, and that's shopping at multiple stores.
If you have the time for it, yes,
I agree. If you have the time, but of course many grocery stores, they offer the same products, but many of the times, because of our experience, we know where to get our detergent from, where to get our fruit from, where to get our meat from. So we have that experience. We know, okay, they don't really put that on special, so I'm just going to stick to this particular supermarket.
Yeah.
So it's based on experience again. That's and just right. write down.
And by all means, if you do have that extra luxury of time, then by all means, go to different supermarkets and shop around, because there are significant savings to be made. It's just sometimes we choose to trade time for money.
Exactly. Exactly. Convenience. Is what matters most to all of us. So it's important to know that not all stores are made equally, and the same applies to product prices. Again, by shopping at multiple stores, you'll be able to find cheaper prices and deals that one store couldn't give you.
That's right. The other thing is, I don't know, it works for some families, it doesn't work for everybody, especially if you have boys, men in your family who like their meat. This one involves planning at least one meatless meal a week. Now, I'm imagining a whole bunch of men out there just kind of rolling their eyes at this one.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's once or twice a week. You can get your protein in a multitude of different ways.
Quite expensive.
It is. And if you want to get good quality healthy meat.
Exactly.
Then you are paying quite a bit for it. I mean, I'm one of those people who will happily go vegetarian all year round.
Yeah.
But for those people who really do need to have their meat, you just, you know, try and have a couple of meals a week that don't involve any meat or
and
chicken.
There are quite a number of recipes that don't involve any meat, your Lebanese.
I'm inventive
cuisines.
Because I love my vegetarian food so much. I'm very inventive with my vegetarian dishes, so I can probably cook more vegetarian meals than I
really?
Can with meat and
so
chicken.
So what kind of recipes do you like to make?
Vegetable-based. No.
No, I can think of mjadra, lentils. Lentils and rice.
That's
and
right.
And it keeps you full for a very long time, so you don't need to have meat every single day of the week.
Yeah, or even turning like canned tuna into
exactly.
a meal. You can easily do that. I mean, people don't really think. They think tuna is so boring.
And bland,
you know, it's just something that you pour out of a can and it's so dry and tasteless, and what am I going to do with it and what can I add with it? There is actually so much you can do with tuna. Like I said, I've become inventive. I do like seafood. If I am going to eat meat, I prefer my seafood over meat and chicken. So, again, I've learned how to become inventive and creative with my seafood.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can save a whole heap of money by giving yourself that break from meat and poultry and different kinds of expensive seafood. I mean, you can opt for cheap seafood. Like your tuna. You can make a nice tuna bag, tuna pasta, tuna sandwiches.
But not just that. Learning how to use extenders, I call them. Meal extenders. Like you can use your meats and meat products throughout the week if you like, but just bulk them up with more veggies.
Exactly.
And that's how I prefer my food anyway.
Exactly.
Like you can add a whole chunk of vegetables to that. I mean, you'll probably double your dish. The size of your dish, and you know, it's going to add all those added benefits of having those vegetables in there.
Absolutely.
And you're still kind of not having to really spend extra on those meats throughout
exactly.
the week.
Exactly. I mean, let's say for a stir fry, most people like to include more meat than vegetables. In such a case, include more vegetables than meat. Include, you know, a small portion of meat.
I'm like that. Like I double the quantity of vegetables to meat only because I don't usually when I cook with meat, I don't eat the meat. that's in the dish.
Mm.
I go for the veggies. So yeah, you guys can have the meat and I'll stick to my veggies.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Most people are the complete opposite, Ola.
Yeah.
They prefer to.
Now we have a good balance. I think we've reached an agreement in my household.
We touched on this earlier, and that's to avoid recipes that need a special ingredient. Mm. Now, most cookbooks, Ola,
I don't like cookbooks.
I don't really like them too.
I've never followed a cookbook.
No, because they have those weird ingredients that you've never heard about before.
Mm.
And, you know, for a stir fry, for instance.
You know what I hate? Those cookbooks, practical cooking for beginners.
Yeah.
And you look at them and you think, I've never heard of this. What is this?
There's like 20 different ingredients for something that really just needs three ingredients.
And then, you know, naming some exotic type of rice that I don't even think my supermarket has to begin with.
Exactly. So try leaving the ingredient out or substituting it in, you know, an ingredient that you already have at home. And it's really fun to be experimenting while cooking. It's something Ola really enjoys to do. She loves experimenting. So follow that advice and have a look into your pantry, see what kind of substitutes are available. And who knows, it might end up tasting a lot better than if you were to use that special fancy ingredient.
That's right. And look, you know, I'm one of those people who, you know, when I first started cooking, I was really bad at following recipes to start with. I was hopeless. I could never follow a cookbook. I could never follow a recipe. So I used to invent my own stuff.
That's great.
I literally used to just think, yeah, that looks about right. I think these flavors would work together. Let's see what we can come up with. And so I managed to come up with a few different dishes that, you know, struck me by surprise, really.
Exactly. It becomes less stressful on you because you don't have to leave your house to go to the supermarket just to buy one single ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
And what tends to happen is, in that case, when you go to buy just one ingredient, you end up spending so much more money.
Yeah.
And you probably end up forgetting that ingredient anyway.
That's the thing. When you do multiple shops a week, you do end up spending more because every time you go there, you never ever just go for that one item. Let's face it. Let's admit it.
No, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. I know because I went to the supermarket 3 times in one day for milk. And 3 times I came out with everything but the milk.
But the milk.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So I know from experience, you know, those multiple shopping trips only make you spend money on things that you don't actually need.
Exactly. And you're faced with, as I mentioned, all these kinds of specials. And then another problem we face is, again, this is a very common thing, which is shopping while you are hungry. And that's something we should be avoiding. And I realize that happens to me on so many occasions.
Straight to the cookie aisle.
Yes.
To the cookie aisle and to the chocolate
aisle.
And to the, you know, to the chips and all those yummy but not too good for you stuff. Yeah, I've noticed that and I try as best as I can not to do that. Funnily enough, it never works for me only because I'm one of those people that who doesn't tend to
eat until you get home.
Until I get home because like I live on coffee when I'm at work.
Yeah.
So I usually go after work to the supermarket and that's when all my hunger kicks in because I realise, oh, I haven't eaten anything today.
I feel like savoury today or sweet?
That's right.
You feel like both. Oh, this would be nice later on to munch on.
Or what's the quickest thing that I can eat right now?
Yeah.
Like that's usually my train of thought at that point in time. What's the quickest thing that I can make? I'm looking for something that, you know, I can make in 5 minutes flat.
Yeah.
And be out of the kitchen. And usually they're not the healthiest options,
no.
I can tell you that much.
No, exactly. So the advice here is not to shop while hungry because you will buy more food if you shop when you
and
are
look,
hungry.
In Ramadan,
yeah,
try to do your shopping after iftar.
After iftar, directly after iftar.
When you're still full and you cannot stand the sight of food.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people will be shopping after iftar.
I usually try and do that.
Really?
Yeah, only because usually I'm busy during the day anyway.
Mm.
I can't really do my shopping during the day, so that's the only option that's really left for me, and it works.
Oh,
because
wow.
you do go there and you realise, oh my God, what do I need all this food for? And, of course, leave your kids at home if you plan to go shopping. And mothers and fathers will know exactly why that is.
Because you'll be faced with horrendous amount of tantrums.
And a horrendous amount of junk food in your trolley.
That's right. Hence the tantrums, because you're trying to avoid that. But your kids won't let you.
It's so like you're looking in one direction and your kids are pulling things off from the other direction into your trolley. And
it doesn't have to involve kids. I mean, just one child is enough to make things 10 times worse for
and
you.
And I don't even mean kids, as in little kids. Even having like a teenager with you
can be
a challenge sometimes, because they have all these bizarre
appetite. Yeah, they have a bizarre craving appetite
sometimes,
and
they look at something they've never eaten before. And oh, can we get that one?
Exactly.
Do you even know what that is? Are you ever going to eat it?
Exactly. So by leaving the kids at home, you can focus on what you need to buy without having anyone nagging you about buying extra things you don't need.
And that's always a bonus. Another good tip is to stock up on staples. And I don't mean the metal paper fasteners that we use, but like the food staples, like rice,
potatoes. Not sure
potatoes.
I have any of those staples at home, Honor.
I don't think anybody uses them anymore. So things like rice, potatoes, pasta, frozen veggies, and a good range of herbs and spices. You will absolutely amaze yourself with how many different dishes you can come up with just these ingredients, just by changing the different combinations of flavors. And
it makes cooking so much easier, and actually trying to come up with something to cook. I mean,
honestly,
if you have frozen veggies in your freezer, you're good to go, basically.
That's it. Like for me, honestly, if I have frozen veggies, rice, and, you know, my spice cabinet is full, I'm a happy camper.
Perfect.
I'm a happy camper, because I know, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of what I can come up
and
with.
And in terms of meat and poultry, I mean, a lot of people like to stock up on breast chicken.
Mm.
They're pretty much staple type of poultry, because you're going to use that in pretty much most of the dishes during the week. So with breast chicken, you can, the list goes on and on.
And it's quick to cook. So it's not one of those meats that needs ages and ages to cook. But it's all about, again, the advanced preparing and remembering to take it out of the freezer.
Exactly.
But if you're cooking last minute, this is where, you know, those quick meals, the vegetarian ones, are usually the easiest, because you don't have to wait for anything to thaw out. It's just, you know, just putting ingredients together and you're good to go.
And it's really important to have those, you know, basic herbs and spices in your pantry. Now, the problem that I faced for a very long time is I just like to try things, try different herbs and spices. Oh, you know, as I mentioned before, just be simple.
Yeah.
With your herbs and spices and your dishes. A lot of the spices out there are like mixed herbs and things like that, mixed spices. Just, you know, have the basic ones in your pantry, things that you will use in more than one recipe, like, you know, your pepper,
mixed spice, cinnamon, cardamom.
Exactly.
You know, they're like my favorites.
Chili, garlic powder.
Paprika.
Exactly. So you don't need those ones that have a million and one different spices in one.
Mm.
Just have
and
your
look,
basic ones.
Two of my favourites actually in my spice cabinet, Nadia, are garlic granules and granulated onion as well.
Yes.
Because they can actually substitute for the fresh stuff.
Absolutely.
So if you're out of garlic, fresh garlic,
as well,
and like your fresh onion,
Yep.
These will do just as well.
Exactly.
For a meal. There's they give enough flavour and, you know, you won't really notice.
There's even like ginger powder as well.
Yeah.
So your garlic powder, your onion powder, that's a great substitute. You don't have to purchase any ginger.
And if you don't like the dry stuff, there's always, they come in jars or like in tubes.
Exactly. They last for
They last very more long than time. The actual fresh stuff. So that's a good idea as well.
A very nice advice, reinvent meals from ones you've already cooked. So turn your leftover roast chicken into another meal by adding veggies, sauces, or making them into pasta bakes. Many times, Ola, we have leftover chicken. We made roast chicken and...
Nobody really likes to eat roast chicken
the next day
because it goes a bit dry. Yep. And that's, you know, where it really can go to waste if you don't do something else with it.
Exactly.
You know, you've got this chicken, it's already cooked. Half the work is done for you.
That's
all you
right.
really need to do is just shred it and pull it apart.
Make a mansaf, make a fried rice.
Turn it into a
pasta bake.
Anything.
The list goes on and on. And again, you... will be rectifying that problem of food wastage.
That's right. And nobody will even know that it was yesterday's roast.
And if you have the space, stock up on non-perishable items when you find them on special. And this can include things like tissues, toilet paper, shampoo, dishwashing and washing detergents. Again, they can get quite expensive. Ola, even toilet paper is expensive.
It's something that you're using all the time, all the time.
Yeah, that's why if they're on special... buy it in bulk.
That's right. I mean, a lot of the times these items are being reduced to like half price. So, you know, you can really stand to save a significant sum of money.
You just can't get better than half price.
You can't be really. So you can stock up on them. But then again, this doesn't suit everybody. Some people live in very tiny spaces.
Yeah.
And they really don't have the space to store anything. But on the other hand, if you do live in a larger home or you've got maybe like a shed outside that you can store stuff in, by all means, go for it.
You can purchase a cabinet that you can place outside, or even if you're in a unit, I mean, I'm sure there's space for a cabinet where you can place all these extra bulk items in there, and that will save you the hassle of having to go every single week just to purchase things that you need.
That's right. And if you bulk up on these for a while, what you'll find is that it's going to reduce your weekly shop as well.
Exactly.
Because you're not having to add those items onto the list every week.
Exactly.
So it's a bonus, really, both ways.
Exactly, Ola. And what I really hate about shopping is having to unload my shopping. And when it comes to things like your toilet paper, washing detergents, they're quite heavy and annoying to carry.
They're bulky.
Bulky. So just do one shop a month where you've got all your bulk items, your non-perishable items, and you're saving money and you're saving having to go every single day to purchase these items.
That's right. But the last of our tips for today is to do a daily fridge reshuffle. And what that means is you need to put everything close to expiry in a basket to use as a priority and prevent food wastage. So, you know, we all have stuff, I know.
At the back,
at the back of the pantry or at the back of the fridge, we've always got those things that we forgot we even had.
Yep.
And so it's a good idea to weekly, as we plan those meals, to go through our fridge and figure out what it is that we do have. If something's close to expiry, maybe it's a good idea to use it now.
Exactly. Great advice and great tips. And with that last piece of advice, we come to the end of today's episode of Community Connect. Today's topic was how to save on your grocery bill. Hopefully that will entice you and encourage you to save, save, save.
And hopefully I can follow my own advice.
You and I both, Ola. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Community Connect. Until the next time we reconnect on Community Connect, please take care.